Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Steven Devo Deaton. What's up, Steven? How are you, man?
Hey, man. What's going on? I'm good. What about you?
Doing good, dude. I know we're recording late on Thursday night. We had a busy week this week. And so I've got Thursday night football playing right now on my phone. I got my MacBook pulled up running this podcast. I'm in my happy place, you know?
Absolutely. I'm doing the same, man. Got the game pulled up, got my notes pulled up, recording the podcast. So it's been a busy week, man. Back-to-back games on Monday and Tuesday night, basketball for me. So I was unable to really do my homework for the pod Wednesday. But here we are Thursday night. We're going to get this in and hopefully help some guys out with their fantasy leagues this week.
Absolutely, man. So look, you can take it over on Thursday nights on your own, guys. You know, do your thing with this matchup that's going on right now. But we're going to try to actually record this and get it out before Sunday so that way we can help you out a little bit. And so with that being said, Stephen, we always welcome in and start off our episodes with basically just holding each other accountable, seeing where we're at with our league recaps and just our current standings right now. So we just finished up week 10. How are you sitting in your redraft and dynasty leagues?
Oh man, last week it was a down week for me last week, by my standards, and this week is just absolutely atrocious. So in redraft this week I went 1-3. Dynasty went 4-7, with one of those being a complete rebuild, 0-10 there. Man, again, it was just a week that was really atrocious to me. And I just really want to never speak of it again. So my total dynasty record right now for this year is 88-54. And then my redraft record on the year is 24-16, with a total record between the two of 112-70. And I told a friend this week, texting during the games this past Sunday, and early it was like touchdown by nobody, touchdown by nobody, touchdown by nobody. And I was like, man, all these touchdowns are gross today. And I told him, I was like, this is not good for me because I usually own the good players in my leagues. And obviously, that's how it turned out. I did not have a very good week at all.
Hey, what man, about you, BJ? I get it, dude. Like, this past week was one that was so weird. Redraft, I finished 1-1 consistently, as I have for the past probably 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Sitting at 15-5 right now in redraft. Dynasty, though, actually put together some wins last week, man. I actually finished the week at 5-3, with three of those leagues being a rebuild and one of them actually being a one-year reload that I'm working on. Man, so currently where I'm sitting at in my dynasty leagues is 39-42, right around that 500 range there, with three of those being rebuilds and one being a reload. So I'm okay with it. I'll tell you what, though, man, Steven, I had a surprise win last week in a complete rebuild to where I think I scored the fourth most points in the league with a team that started Caleb Huntley and Kenneth Gainwell at running back. And so I don't know what happened there, man.
Yeah, man, it was definitely a weird week. I hope things kind of get back to normal this week with the studs being studs and the duds being duds, because that's going to really help me out.
Man, I get it, dude. So speaking of studs, let's go into this news and notes segment, Steven.
All right, man. This news and notes this week, man. Every week, 3 weeks in a row here, starting out with Justin Fields. QB1 on the week again. Absolutely killing it in the rushing category, man, with 749 yards on the season. And he faces an Atlanta team this week who's not very strong. So what do you think, BJ? What's your outlook for Fields this week?
Man, I think he's going to finish top five, honestly. I know that's strong to say with Fields and stuff, but he has been killing it right now. I actually I traded for him early in the season in a redraft as my QB2 in Superflex League, and I'm happy with his performance right now, man. And so I'm rolling him out there each and every week until he proves me something different, you know?
Yeah, I think you have to, and the throwing's still got to come, and it's honestly getting better. Kind of right before our eyes a little bit. But he's still got some work to do, and we hope to see that just continue to progress and progress and progress for his sake. Lamar Jackson, man, he had a rushing record this week. He rushed for 100 yards in a game for the 11th time in his career, which set a new NFL all-time record for most 100-yard rushing games by a quarterback. Man, he's just, again, last week we talked about what he did and how we just take him for granted. And you got Justin Fields over here who we're talking about every week, week in and week out. But, man, Lamar Jackson's still the GOAT of rushing quarterbacks, and he might be the GOAT of all time on that category, even after Fields and Jackson's both done. Just love the guy. Love what he does. I don't know what else to say about him. He's a special player.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I know I read a stat the other day said that Lamar Jackson's single season rushing record of 1,200 yards, 1,206 yards, actually, that Justin Fields is on pace right now to break it. Now, I know that that's with a strand of 300-yard plus rushing games from Justin Fields, but yeah. I think that there's potential there, man. The way that they're using David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert just going on IR, I mean, they're going to let Fields run it. And yeah. So I'm eating up the fancy points right now, and I don't mind it a bit, dude.
I think that record's, I'm going to say it's going to be safe. And I'll tell you why. I think that, I know Fields is running all over the place right now. But teams are going to get really tired of seeing that. Like they're going to eventually just say, okay, you prove to me that you can throw it. And I know a lot of his stuff comes on scrambles and broken plays, and you know, he kills it with a big 70-yard run or whatever. And those things are fluid, you know, but they kind of did the same thing to Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago. They were like, okay, we're tired of you running it. You're going to prove that you can throw it. And when the good defenses do that to a quarterback, it's usually not a good day for those running quarterbacks. We'll just keep an eye on it. That rushing record of 1,206 rushing yards could be in jeopardy, but it'll be fun to watch down the stretch for sure. Okay, Zach Ertz, man, out for the season with a knee injury. Looked kind of bad, looked brutal. And if you own Zach Ertz in some leagues, and I'm sure some of you do, especially you contenders, he's an older tight end. He's kind of had a nice career. I don't think this does it for his career. I think he'll probably bounce back. He just signed a 3-year deal with Arizona. I think he's got two more seasons left there. But it does open a pretty good window for Trey McBride, that he now has an opportunity to kind of flourish as the tight end to own in Arizona. At least for the rest of the year this year. What are your thoughts on Ertz's future and McBride's future?
Honestly, man, I think Ertz does come back for another year or two to actually just try to finish out that contract. I've actually am a manager of his in one of my contending leagues where I'm one of the top 3-4 teams in that league. And having him go down hurt my team a pretty decent amount. But then again, man, he's 30-something years old, and so you can't really bank on that, you know. I still think that he's a top 15, top 20 tight end in Dynasty. I think that when he does get out there and produce, he's producing good numbers with Kyler and his rapport. Now, Trey McBride, man, I'll be honest with you. I drafted him in a couple leagues this past year, and where I'm at right now is that I am so nervous to plug him in any single lineup because we haven't seen it. You know, now obviously Ertz has been playing, but even with that, like I think like the most passes that McBride's had in a single game may have been 2 or 3, you know, to where we haven't seen any production. Even whenever Ertz was out earlier in the season, I think for a game or so, you didn't see McBride produce anything. And so with it, it's tough to trust him right now. I know I've seen some rankings where he's been fringe, honestly, top 15 dynasty tight end. And for me, I don't see it right now, you know?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And also, I know I'm kind of – we just kind of failed to mention Max Williams here, who you know, he's not a bad player in and of his own right. It's kind of like we just looked over him too. So there is going to be kind of one of those things, you know, let's just kind of see how they do it. I know McBride was kind of the hot name for Dynasty and for some rookie drafts this past year. But we'll just kind of see what they do and how they roll this tight end situation for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So moving on, Cooper Kupp, went on IR actually with his high ankle sprain injury, his ankle injury. Hopefully he will return this year, right around, your fantasy playoff times. So that will be good for you. At least he's not done for the season. We hope he returns for these contenders right around the fantasy playoffs. That'll be a huge boost, obviously, to any team. But looking kind of ahead on this, or not ahead, but just kind of looking past this Kupp injury, who's the main beneficiary of this? Do you think Allen Robinson will be better in Cooper Kupp's absence here?
Somewhat, yes. I think he has more touchdown upside, if I'm honest with you. I think the one wide receiver that benefits the most, though, is the other wide receiver. I don't even know how to pronounce the dude's last name. The white kid. Scourick or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I think that he benefits a little bit more than Robinson. I mean, Robinson's got the talent, but the thing about it is he doesn't seem to have that rapport with Cup. I mean, he's had, what, one good game. I know he came
Yeah.
off
Yeah.
last week with like 8 fantasy points maybe.
Yeah.
But with it, I'm avoiding that Rams offense right now, man. It blows my mind, Steven. I was thinking this past week, man, I don't remember a Super Bowl team that has fallen off this hard immediately after a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
And so if you watch that Rams offense right now, it is not fun to watch at all, man. It's
No, it's
just
not.
it's cringy.
Especially for what it was last year when you had
Absolutely.
Odell and you had Robert Woods and you had, those running backs were kind of kicking it and Cam Akers was even doing his thing. Darrell Henderson was doing his thing. You had Kupp breaking records for fantasy purposes and NFL. I mean, it was awesome last year. And then to kind of take the step back that it's taken this year, it is hard to watch.
Man, it's tough.
And I think, we talk about Allen Robinson being a beneficiary and Shorenook, I think, being a beneficiary of that. I do think Higbee might be a little beneficiary of
Yeah,
that,
I can see
especially
it.
in a PPR format where, Kupp is usually that blanket, that security blanket. I think Higbee could maybe get in that PPR role and especially in tight end premium role, right? Where maybe he has, three or four more catches a game now with this Kupp injury. So we'll see. We'll kind of see what they do. Matt Ryan back to being a starting QB in Indy again, man. He had a good game last week, man. It
Yeah.
was a late scratch for Sam Ehlinger. I think maybe with 10 minutes or 15 minutes to go before their game time, the news broke Matt Ryan would be starting. And man, all that blind bid money that people spent on Ehlinger about 3 weeks ago is up in flames right now, it looks like. But man, I think it was worth a shot. You spend some blind bid money on a starting quarterback in your dynasty leagues, your 12-team super flex leagues where there's no quarterbacks available. It was worth a shot for sure. But it looks like that might be, like I said, up in flames now. My question about Ryan is there a little resurgence here for Matt Ryan? Do you see a little juice in his step since he got benched and he thought, man, this might be it for me?
I think he does kind of have a small uptick. I know that fantasy managers who had him are rejoicing right now. For me, just kind of tell you a small short story, Steven. Last week in one of my leagues, and I'm doing that 1 year reload in, I actually had Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was on a bye. Those were my two starting quarterbacks. And so what I did is I picked up guy, what was his name? Wofford from the Rams. I threw him in my super flex position. I had Colt McCoy starting for Kyler because Kyler was out. And then
Yep.
last minute, I see the Matt Ryan news. So in the heat of the moment, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I get on there and I actually drop Colt McCoy. I add Matt Ryan in a dynasty league where somebody had actually dropped him, and because we have a short bench. And in
Yeah.
doing so, I forgot to actually start Matt Ryan in that position before that game started, to where my
Oof.
quarterback position was blank. For the whole matchup, I lost by 20 points, and Matt Ryan had 22 fantasy points on the week.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I'm in a similar situation. I'm in so many leagues, man, and it's so hard to remember your players sometimes. I mean, if you got, 11, 12 dynasty leagues, kind of like I'm in, it is hard. It's hard to remember who's on what team and who you got starting where. That's why it's really important to check your lineups and stuff each week and multiple times, not just one time. And it burnt me too, man. It was a league where I had Matt Ryan. I spent money on Ehlinger. And the news broke, and I didn't catch it in time. It's not that I wasn't paying attention; I just didn't catch it. Like I said, it was a 10-minute window there that you had, and I started Ehlinger in a league where it's a super flex, and again, this specific league, I had my other QBs were on bye, and I was only starting Ehlinger in the QB position. So similar to you, it burnt me there. I had Ehlinger going in a league where he didn't even play and no other quarterback playing. So I obviously it was a bad week in that league. I actually lost the matchup. I don't think it would have helped any, even if I started Matt Ryan. But yeah, man, it was tough. It was a tough situation there, especially for fantasy managers who were unable to make that switch late from Ehlinger to Ryan or just put Ryan back in your lineup, if you owned him.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so Christian Watson, moving on here. I know he's currently playing right now. Last week, he had a 3-touchdown performance. Already this week, currently while we're filming this, recording this podcast, it's halftime of the game, and he has 1 touchdown catch right now. So back in the end zone this week. It was a nice day for the rookie last week, and I hope it was. And I was in the pod here. My notes was that hopefully it would be a building block for him to move forward. Looks like there's a little rapport there already. Like I said, touchdown tonight. And we'll just kind of see where it goes from there. What do you think about the young rookie?
Man, I don't mind him a bit. He was actually on my taxi squad in one of my dynasty leagues where I just completed a rebuild, so I'm competing right now. And with it, I actually pulled him off of taxi this week to actually plug him in a lineup over Deebo Samuel. Nice. I know that's a bold move, man, and I'm feeling okay about it right now, but it's just that upside that's there. Like you said, he's got the red zone touchdown already tonight. And I honestly think that he's a wide receiver to look at. Honestly, he could very easily be a league winner this year. Yeah. To where if you need a flex play and stuff, if he comes through, like you said, Steve, I don't really want to tout him too much. I don't want to put him on that pedestal yet, but he's somebody to keep your eye on. Maybe send out a couple of trade requests this week for
him. Yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know, man. It's a shaky situation in Green Bay with the receivers and Rodgers right now, you know. Come playoff time, if he's performing, you know, over the next couple of weeks, he absolutely could be one of those guys that, man, that you got on your lineup and in your lineups that you definitely, you know, 3 and 4 weeks ago thought, man, this guy, you know, he's nothing right now. He's just a stash.
Yep. And I want to say this real quick. Shout out to Ben, the host of the Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We had him come on a couple of weeks ago, and one player that he told us to buy low on was actually Christian Watson. And so shout out Ben for that call there. So Steven, moving into our next segment, man, let's talk about these sneaky flex plays. We've been okay with it. Not great, but okay. And yeah. I started real hot,
but it's cooling off just a little bit.
I think that's our forte in every category, Steven. So, with that, last week you ended up choosing David Montgomery, who finished RB40 on the week with a stat line of 9 attempts for 37 rushing yards and 1 reception for 7 yards. I told you guys to actually plug in Brandon Ayuk in your flex, who finishes wide receiver 36 with a stat line of 6 receptions for 84 yards and ended up being San Francisco's leading receiver. And so, with that being said, I'm going to make my sneaky flex play real quick, super duper fast, because the guy's already playing and I didn't have time to come up with a new one. Okay. So, my sneaky flex play before this episode even aired, I typed this in yesterday before this game, is actually Christian Watson. He's come off a monster performance of 4 catches on 8 targets with 107 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. He plays on actually 84% of snaps last week and had a favorable matchup against Tennessee. I put in my notes, I expect him to have at least 10 points in this matchup, making him a flex play this week, and he's already got 8 points and currently on offense right now. And so I just want to throw that out there, see what happens. And so, that's it.
You literally just typed that up 10 minutes ago.
No, don't even lie, man. You saw those notes in there yesterday.
Yeah, I got to give him credit, man. We was looking at the notes yesterday and trying to get this thing. We were going to try to get this thing off the ground last night, Wednesday night, man. It's my fault. Like I said, back-to-back basketball nights just killed me this week. But I will give BJ credit. He had Christian Watson in this spot yesterday when we were looking at notes, and I hated it. But, you know, obviously shows what I know. So, my sneak, I'm moving on from that. Give BJ his credit. He had him in there. My sneaky flex play this week, I'm going with DPJ, man, Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's coming off a nice week last week where he caught 5 of his 9 targets for 99 yards. And since week 4, he's boasting a 21.3% target share. And we've talked in depth about the opportunities that you get in fantasy is more important than maybe the player that you are. And with a 21.3% target share, he's getting his opportunity right now to show out fantasy wise a little bit, and I like him as a flex play this week.
Absolutely, man. I'm actually looking at his numbers the past couple of weeks, and dude, he's been a sneaky flex play just about every week, man.
Yeah.
He's finished double digits in actually 5 of his last 6 matchups. Yep. And so he's somebody to keep your eye on.
I like him a lot. And he's still kind of being ranked around that flex play area. So that's kind of why I've got him where I've got him here. I think he definitely is a sneaky flex play, man. He's, again, when you get over a 20% target share on your team, that's saying something. So he's definitely worthy of consideration.
Oh yeah, and side note too, in 3 more weeks Deshaun Watson comes back. And so I would keep your eye on ODPJ, man.
Yep, yep.
Awesome. And so, Steven, let's get into the underdog category, all right, man.
Here we go. We'll go underdog. Let's recap last week first. My picks last week was DJ Moore under 62.6 receive or 62.5, excuse me, receiving yards was a hit. Drake London under his 40.5 receiving yards was hit. My miss that I had that I felt probably the best about was Christian McCaffrey over 112.5 total yards. It actually missed. That's going to allow me to be 6-1 since we started this segment. Feeling pretty good about that. Going ahead and jinxing myself. I'm going to go over 3 this week. Don't listen to me at all this week on the underdog section. Recapping your picks last week, Patrick Mahomes over 301.5 total yards was a hit for you. And then Nick Chubb over 86.5 rushing yards was actually a miss. So, BJ, I'm going to go ahead and let you kick this off right here. Let's go ahead and get that first underdog pick from you.
Awesome, man. And so my first pick this week is none other than the man, the myth, the legend who we have been talking about every single episode for the past 3 weeks, Justin Fields. Justin Fields has a stat line this week of 254.5 total yards. It's a pretty good bit, man. But I'm actually hitting the over on this. The reason being is he is facing Atlanta defense. Not only that, but he is coming off of 3 of the best performances of his career. He has hit that zone. He is feeling really good. I don't expect him to have 150 rushing yards, I'll be completely honest with you. But I think he does take some of that tick up in that passing offense, man. Atlanta's defense looks atrocious right now, if I'm honest with you. Their offense is whack, if I'm completely honest with you. And with that being said, I think Justin Fields comes in here and I think he hits his stat line. I know it's a bold stat line with that much in a Chicago Bears offense, but I'm feeling good about it right now.
Yeah, man. I think that I think he can hit it. I'm weary that, again, kind of my sentiment of what I said earlier. So I don't know, and the Falcons are probably not the team to do it, right? But somebody's going to shut this Russian attack down. And when they do shut the Russian attack down, a week like 254.5 total yards is going to be really tough for Justin Fields to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, it is Atlanta. He is going into a defense that's not very good. So I could totally see it happening. All right, so my first underdog pick this week is Deontay Foreman, over 50.5 rushing yards. I think he had 31 attempts this past week for 130 yards. He did have the dud the week before that for 7-23, but if you go back the previous week, he had 26-118 and then 15-118. So 3 of the past 4 weeks, man, he has been right at 120 yards plus. And so, man, 50.5 just feels easy to me, right? It just feels easy. So that's my first underdog pick this week, Deontay Foreman, over 50.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the stat line there, man. I don't know why it's so low, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts to me. And if you're on underdog, man, you should be smashing some of these. Like, you know, we do this to try to help you see what's there. And to me, like, it's just kind of like, you know, people are going to have a one-off, but the numbers say, and the amount of carries he's getting says he might smash this in the first half. So yeah. I'm completely on this Deontay Foreman over 50.5 rushing yards.
Absolutely, man. So on my second one, I am going with the person that we talk about a pretty good bit on here as well, Lamar Jackson. The stat line for him this week, the player prop is actually 61.5 rushing yards, and I'm going over with that as well. The reason being is that he plays against Carolina this week. Carolina's offense is easily exposable, as we kind of seen. Well, not necessarily. It's okay. But with that being said, man, you got one of the best rushers out there. Lamar has actually rushed for 82 yards the past game, 43 before that, 59 before that. But with his running back situation right now, I expect Lamar to keep trying to actually rush. I think Lamar is about to get to the point where he's going to remind people just how good of a quarterback, how good of a rusher that he really is. And so with it, I'm looking at the stat line and I'm hitting the over on it.
Yeah, man. He's again, a dynamic player, can bust one at any moment and easily hit that over on the rushing. Not only could he bust it just on one carry, you know that he is going to get multiple carries per game and give you an opportunity to hit that number. So I like it, man. Okay. So my second one here, Curtis Samuel under 42.5 receiving yards. And look, I know if you go and you look at his numbers, he has actually been over that number 3 of the last 4 games. So it's kind of a reversal here of what, you know, we just said about, you know, trends for players. But I'm going to tell you one reason why I'm doing this. I do think that Taylor Heineke is getting the start again this week, and he loves him some Terry McLaurin. Like, he loves some Terry McLaurin. And I know Taylor Heineke's been the quarterback, you know, for these past weeks where Samuel's actually hit this. He's had two targets, four receptions. That's kind of where he's been sitting at. So, man, he actually did hit the over, an average of 21 yards on 11-6 versus Minnesota, 16 yards on October the 30th. And then this past week, he averaged 14 yards. He didn't hit. This past week was the week that he didn't hit that number. But the big catches are kind of allowing him to get this. So those are kind of like touchdowns, man. Those are kind of, you know, they're iffy. You know, are you going to get that big, you know, catch each week? Can you rely on that each and every week? I don't think you can. And the amount of targets he's getting doesn't really sustain the number in my mind. So, to me, Curtis Samuel, under 42.5 receiving yards, lock it in.
Got two words for you, Steven. Jahan Dotson. I think now that Jahan Dotson is back and it's his second week back healthy, actually, I think it's his first week back fully healthy, if I'm honest with you, I think that he does take some of these receiving yards away from Curtis Samuel, so I don't mind this call a bit, dude.
Absolutely.
And so the third player prop that I'm going with, the last one, you know, I guess we're going with three this week just because it's more chances for us to miss, you know, but it's also more chances for us to hit, you know.
That's exactly right.
with my player prop this week, my final one, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, over 339.5 total yards. If this was any other quarterback, I would probably be smashing the under on this. But with Patrick Mahomes, man, he is playing at a completely different level right now. Not only that, but the Chiefs' offense right now, specifically their running game is almost non-existent. To where what we've been able to see here lately is that Patrick Mahomes is actually getting about 6 or 7 rushes per game the past couple weeks. Yep. And so with it, they are also playing the Los Angeles Chargers, a division game in LA. And so, you know, that all eyes are going to be on this game. And what usually happens here is that when all eyes are on Patrick Mahomes, he performs. It's almost like he's the opposite of Kirk Cousins. Yeah. And so with it, I expect Patrick Mahomes to come out there, man, the past four games, he's actually thrown for more than 330 yards in all four games. And so you add 10 more yards rushing on that, I think it's an easy smash.
Yeah, I man, he's such a stud, man. And he could, you know, I know there's talk about Josh Allen kind of overtaking him as the best quarterback in the league. And Josh Allen's great, man. But Patrick Mahomes, man, he's still up there. And he still might have something to say about that. And each and every week, man, he goes out there, he puts the numbers up, he gets it done. So, man, I like it. I like it for you. All right, my last one this week, Andy Dalton. Oh, as you know,
gross.
I'm a huge Saints fan, okay? I'm a huge Saints fan, and I'm just so disappointed this year, man. It's just been awful. Dennis Allen sucks. Ben called that. Another shout-out to Ben. It's just been brutal, man. Looks like he might have lied about Jameis Winston at some point. My lied to Jameis Winston. He's not a good head coach to me, and I know it's year one, but it's just – he's had this before, man. He was head coach of the Raiders. He was awful. He's not managing this team correctly. So it's just a mess. And so Andy Dalton this week, I've got him under 212.5 passing yards, and I've got it fairly easily, to be honest. I don't think he even comes close. The offense has looked putrid at best. He might even get replaced by halftime by Jameis Winston. So I'm thinking Andy Dalton under 212 passing yards, lock it in, BJ.
Anytime that you can go with the under for a player that could be replaced at any moment, absolutely go with it, man. Yeah. And so I love this call. I think that it is one that's going to have an easy payout, if I'm honest with you. And so I'm looking forward to this week. I'm anxious to see what happens.
Yeah.
So for our final segment, one that we're going to kind of rush through real quick, not too fast rush through, but just kind of rush through a little bit, is our Devy Darlings. How we like to end this episode every single week for the past couple of weeks is actually talking about a couple of Devy players that we're falling in love with before rookie drafts. And so it doesn't have to necessarily be 2023 rookies, as I think both of ours tonight are actually 2024. And so with that, Steven, if you're cool with it, man, I'm going to go ahead and go first for this time. One player one Devy prospect that I am becoming just fascinated with right now and that I keep looking at is Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. With that, he's just a sophomore right now, so he won't be eligible to be drafted in the NFL until 2024. Yet Bowers is on track to be one of the top picks of the class, man. As a freshman, he caught 56 balls for 882 yards and 13 touchdowns. If you're familiar with Devy, if you're familiar with Dynasty, then you know that someone to break out as a freshman is rare, and you always want to kind of look at that stat. And then also this year, he's currently sitting at 39 receptions for 615 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns while adding another 3 touchdowns rushing. What I love about this, man, is the fact that the tight end landscape right now in the NFL is dismal and fleeting, meaning that you have a 2 or 3 top dogs there at the top of the class, at the top of the position. And then outside of that, you don't really have anybody. And so with it, what we're beginning to see here is that we're starting to see these freak athletes actually begin to take over. We're actually beginning to see players who are replacing these other tight ends, and I think Brock Bowers is one to do so. He looks like a top prospect because his ability to break off big plays, and not only that, man, but like when he gets the ball in his hand, he looks like a solid runner. He plays like a wide receiver, and so I look for him to continue to break the metric and be a solid tight end for a long, long time.
Yeah, man, I love the guy. Watched him, watched college football every week, especially SEC. We've gotten to see a lot of Georgia around here where we are, in the South. If you're you know, North listening, who knows who listens to this thing, but if you're you know, somewhere not in the South, we see a lot of Georgia and what they do. But man, Brock Bowers, he looks phenomenal. And I can't wait to see kind of what he might become in the NFL. He honestly, BJ, does he not look like Travis Kelce out there, like for Georgia? Like, does he not look like that? Like, huge,
looks like a fast Travis Kelce,
right? I mean, like, dude, and Travis Kelce's fast. He's way faster than we give him props for, but he's out there playing against NFL talent who's super fast. That's why I think like Brock Bowers is playing against SEC talent and college talent, and he's faster. But when he makes that jump to the NFL, I think he might look like a Travis Kelce out there on the field, you know. So man, I'm excited for him. I like it a lot, BJ.
Yeah, not many tight ends can break off a 75-yard rush.
Exactly, and he looks great, and he's so strong too, man. He's hard to bring down. Love the guy, love the talent. I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he gets in this NFL and kills it as a tight end. Can't wait to draft him. All right, my Devy darling this week, I'm going with Ohio State's running back Trevion Henderson. I think, man, he offers everything that you could really want in a true NFL workhorse running back. He's got NFL size. He has excellent. He's excellent between the tackles. He has the speed to house long runs. He's great in the passing game. And to be honest, if you're in Devy, if you've been in Devy leagues, it's not shocking to see him actually go 101 in Devy drafts. I've seen it firsthand. You know, because he is talented. I think that he will be the next in line of these great Ohio State running backs, and that you could anchor at a running back position in your fantasy roster for several years to come. I know that right now he's injured. He's dealing with some injuries, but I don't think you should let that hinder you at looking at this running back for your 2023 NFL rookie drafts. I think he most likely won't go 101. But he still has the potential to be the best back of this class, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's a player where I know Devy assets right now are far and few in between, and he's one of the ones that's at the top of his class. And so I expect in 2024 for him to be a stud for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So as we close out this episode, we just want to take this time and just say thank you to our listeners, man. We have a consistent following to where we have people just tune in, listen to us, just talk about fantasy football from a dynasty perspective. And so we just want to say thank y'all for that. I also want to give a shout out to our friend and other podcast host, Ben McCarthy, who runs the Jab Step Fantasy Podcast. If you guys like NBA, go over and give him a follow. He's been doing a little conspiracy theories in the NBA's episode the past couple weeks, and it's been enjoyable. So if you guys will actually follow us over on social media, on Facebook, it is Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast. Over on Twitter, it is at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow Steven on Twitter at SDeaton24 and myself at Afrodynamics 116. Man, we look forward to producing good quality content on a weekly basis. Reach out to us if you have any questions, any advice, anything else like that. Steven, always I'll turn it over to you, man. Let's get some final fantasy advice.
Man, yeah, I'm going to hit you up right here. And we kind of dabbed on this just a little bit earlier in the episode, man. But please, please, please be sure you're checking your lineups. You're checking your late scratches. You're checking your inactives. You're checking your all those type things, man, because I got burnt this week. You got burnt this week on the Matt Ryan deal. And I know it was late, man. But please check your lineups because it will cost you a loss. And it's costed me before. And I feel like I check a lot and I need to check more. You know, like tonight I went through all my lineups, double checked them, set starting lineups tonight. I'll do it again probably on Saturday, and I'll probably turn around and do it again on Sunday. And I might even do it again before the 3 o'clock games on Sunday, because you just never know, inactives and late scratches and things like that, man. So that's my advice for you this week. Be diligent. Don't just set your lineups on a Wednesday night and not look at them again until you're done Sunday. You need to look at them multiple times because of these late scratches in some of these games. You know, like, you know, you take Andy Dalton, for instance, and we're kind of hating on him, and deservedly so. They're not good right now. It's very possible, not likely, but possible, that on Sunday something happens and Dennis Allen's just like, oh, Jameis Winston's starting. You know, so just be sure that you're just checking these things week in and week out, and that you get your best lineup in to put your best foot forward to win that week.
Absolutely, man. I also want to kind of end this with this as well. It's getting crunch time. You guys know that some trade deadlines are happening this week. But what I've realized is that as we begin getting towards the end of the season, you're beginning to have a lot more inactive dynasty managers, to where you're not really making your rosters better. You're just kind of complacent, stuck where you're at. Or you have some who's not even checking trade offers right now. So I'm going to say this, man. Be active. Check on your inactive fantasy league mates and stuff like that. Man, playoffs are supposed to be a fun time full of trash talking and everything else. So just enjoy the season, man. We appreciate you guys, and we can't wait till next week. Y'all have a good one. Hope y'all win y'all's fantasy matchups.